The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. It is the weekend of Passover. So Jesus had his last supper with his disciples just Friday. That's when it would have happened according to the Jewish calendar. And so as Christians, we get to remember that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. We were deserving of death because of sin. We were imperfect. We couldn't reach the holiness of God, right? But because Jesus was our sacrificial lamb, death passes over us. And now we can go and join the Father. We can receive salvation thanks to Jesus. So anytime during this year, we have to remember that we get to celebrate Passover with Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb. So for us, since the American calendar for Resurrection Sunday didn't line up with the Jewish calendar for Passover, at Freedom Fellowship Church, we're actually celebrating Resurrection Sunday twice this year, right? So once according to the American calendar, and then once according to the Jewish calendar. So, but you know, it's always a good excuse to celebrate Jesus and his goodness. Now, for those of you that aren't aware, Pastor Chris this week is going to be heading to the Philippines, and she's going to be there for a whole month. Now, that's really exciting, because God has a lot of really exciting things in store for that trip. And so we're going to be hearing a lot of good reports from Pastor Chris. And as always, if you want to support that mission, I really encourage you, go to our website, sogmi.org, and you can hit the donation button and you can give towards the Philippine mission trip. It's fertile ground, and I just want to encourage you, if the Lord's putting it on your heart to give, then you can give in support for that mission trip. Now, part of the reason why God has placed us on this earth is so that we would be a blessing to others. We are not called by God just so that we'll live a comfortable life and, you know, oh, we're going to be blessed and we're going to be happy and comfortable. No, the truth is that we are called by the Lord to be a light in the dark place, okay? So that we will go into the world and will help establish the kingdom of God. So the truth is, we are called by God to be a blessing to others. But as we are being a blessing to others, God's blessing follows us, okay? But we have to take on this mindset, because the truth is, the majority of Christians, the majority of their prayers, the majority of the things that they focus on, even the things that they act towards, are because they want to be blessed. Oh, Lord, bless me, right? Oh, Lord, I need this. Oh, Lord, I want this. When is this going to happen, right? It's all focused on the things that they want rather than how they can be a blessing to others. In the world, for example, they have this principle in the business world called the Pareto Principle. And the idea behind the Pareto Principle is that 20% of your workers will end up producing 80% of the work. Right? So you have this minority of people that end up doing the majority of the work. And perhaps if you've worked as an employee, you've witnessed this, right? It's like there's always the majority of people, they want to clock in, clock out, they want to do the bare minimum just to get by, get their paycheck, and get out of there, right? They're not interested in being productive. And some people are actively bad workers that just rely on other people to pick up the slack. And everybody intuitively kind of knows this, which is that there's these few people that are extremely productive, and if all those people were to be gone, the company would really suffer, okay? And so 20% of people are producing 80% of the work, and maybe in school, right, when you were younger, maybe you had a group project, and there was some people that didn't want to do any work, and they just relied on the one person to do all of the work, and maybe you were that person that did all the work begrudgingly. Or maybe you were that person that just pawned it off on somebody else because you were being lazy, right? But everybody understands this kind of idea. The thing is though, in the ministry, God has called us to always work to the best of our ability. So the truth is that as Christians, we should be among those most productive workers. Because everything that we do is supposed to be done as if it's worship to the Lord. We're not just doing it because, oh, I'm going to clock in, clock out, I'm going to get my paycheck. You're doing it because that's also part of your act of worship. But this extends also to the ministry. Anytime we hold any kind of crusade, any kind of event, anything that the Lord has told us to do here at Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God Ministries International, it's always a small minority of people that end up doing the majority of the work. And if you observe, and maybe you can observe in your own church services that you attend, it usually ends up being the same small group of people, right? Where it's a small group of people end up being the servants that end up doing all the work and taking on the majority of the responsibility and getting the job done. But let me tell you, there is no shortage of people that want access to the podium, that they want to go up to the limelight, they want to go up and stand before everyone because, oh, the Lord gave me a vision. Oh, the Lord showed me this and I really need to share it, right? There's no shortage of Christians that want the attention and want the limelight. And this is something that we have experienced repeatedly at Freedom Fellowship Church because we operate and we believe that the prophetic gift is for today and the apostolic calling is for today. But what will happen is many people will show up and they'll say, well, I am a prophet and the Lord has given me this word to share, right? They want access to the limelight. They want to be ascended to a position, but they don't actually want to serve, right? These are people that have had no investment in the ministry, have done no work to build up the ministry. So they're not interested in serving. They want to be served. And unfortunately, many pastors also have this attitude, which is that they've become so accustomed to the special favors they can curry from the community, right? The special treatment, the titles, right? The benefits. But Jesus told us in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, it says, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Now, this is kind of a backwards kind of thought. If you want to be the greatest, you have to be the servant of all. And Jesus himself gave us this example because he calls his disciples in. And what does he do? He washes their feet, right? And when Jesus starts to do this, Peter tries to smack him away. Oh, Lord, you're not supposed to do this, right? I'm supposed to be washing your feet. But this is the example that Jesus laid out for us. And you have to understand, Jesus prayed more than his disciples did. He fasted more than his disciples did. He obeyed the Lord more than his disciples did. So even though his disciples were following him and helping him, and I'm sure he assigned tasks to him, the truth is, the person who took on the majority of the work and the responsibility was Jesus. This is the model of leadership that Jesus has given us. And so if you have been called to leadership, you have to understand you're taking on a greater responsibility. It's not that I'm going to sit around and tell people what to do because I am the head, I am the leader, and everyone needs to serve me to be blessed. No, you should be the greatest servant to be a leader. But the majority of Christians, their idea of becoming a leader in the ministry is that, oh, I received a vision. I received a vision from the Lord. And now everyone needs to listen to me. No investment, no work put into it. The truth is that you have to walk your faith with fear and trembling. You see, back in 2002 or 2003, the Lord spoke to Pastor Chris, and this was before Sons of God International was a thing, okay? And the Lord spoke to her, and he said this. He said, Christina, I'm going to bring revival here to San Antonio, Texas, okay? And it's going to start here in San Antonio. And she got really excited, and she said, well, Lord, you know, what ministry is this? Where do we need to go, right? Tell us the ministry that you need us to go to and we'll support them. Okay, we'll pray for them. We'll help fund them. We'll do everything we can to support them. Notice, she had a servant's heart, right? We're going to do what we can to help manifest the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. The focus is on Jesus. It's not on your own ministry. And then the Lord spoke to her, and he said, "What about you and Mike?" Oh, well, that's a big thing. What? And that was how Sons of God Ministries International Freedom Fellowship Church was born. Right? So before, she's like, okay, what do I got to do to support this ministry where the revival is going to start? And now suddenly, she's a pastor with her husband. And now you have to understand, when the Lord calls you to ministry, right, they didn't have any congregation. They didn't have any kind of resources, okay? So, oh yes, I'm a pastor now with a congregation of zero. But she had to walk her faith. And any kind of ministry efforts, she had to fund. And so suddenly, now, the majority of all the disposable income is going into the ministry that the Lord has sent, right? Oh, you want to go on the radio? Well, you got to pay for it out of pocket because where are the tithes, right? There's no congregation, right? Oh, you need to put on an event? Well, you've got to fund it, or you got to believe the Lord to make it happen. So this ministry was birthed out of faith and obedience, but it was something that had to come through fear and trembling, okay? And nowadays, some people might see, it's like, oh, well, you're on the radio, you have this and that, right? Oh, well, you need to platform me on the radio because the Lord has something for me to say. Look, if the Lord is telling you to say something, you have to obey the Lord with fear and trembling. But it doesn't mean that you get to insert yourself into somebody else's calling and say, well, this belongs to me, this position belongs to me. All of our obedience, you have to walk that faith walk. But the majority of the Christians want the blessing, they just want it handed to them, but they don't actually want to have to deal with the pressure of walking their faith with fear and trembling. You see, what happens in the scriptures, anybody who's called to the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence, they need to study the story of Joseph. You see, because Joseph, he got this great vision from God. He saw in this dream that, oh, wow, the wheat of all my brothers bow down to my wheat. What's that about, right? But what happens to Joseph is that his brothers, they sell him into slavery, right? Out of their bitterness, out of their jealousy and anger. And we know how the story goes. When he was a slave, he was faithful to Potiphar, and Potiphar put him in charge over his household. Later, he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and he gets thrown into prison. But he was faithful and trustworthy as a prisoner, so the prison guards put him in charge over the prison. Then suddenly, the Pharaoh has this dream, and nobody can interpret it. But there's this rumor of this man in prison that can interpret dreams. And it's at that moment, the Pharaoh calls him out of prison. He sees the hand of God on Joseph, and he appoints him over the entire kingdom. Now, Joseph did get appointed to a leadership position, but he, in secret, without any fame, without any praise, without any accolades, for years, had been walking a faithful and trustworthy life, even when the circumstances did not add up. So, from the outside, imagine you're a servant in the Pharaoh's court, and you see that this man came out of nowhere, right? Who is this Joseph person, right? He didn't attend our schools. He didn't go to our training. Where did he come from, right? So from an outsider's perspective, Joseph's rise seems instantaneous and out of nowhere, right? And some people look at people in the business arena, they look at people in the ministry, and they see them shoot up because the hand of God is upon them, and they see it as something instant. But you have to understand, every single one of those people, all through the scriptures, it was years and years of faithfully walking and obeying God without any recognition, without any acknowledgement, because they were not seeking the limelight. They were seeking to serve God. Do not seek out the limelight. Do not try to work and claw your way to establish your ministry. Okay? Focus on obeying God. Focus on serving the Lord. And when you've proven yourself faithful, then you will be given charge over cities and nations. All throughout the scriptures, every single great man and woman of faith, they walked their faith with fear and trembling. But this is the other thing about Joseph, too, is that everywhere he was, He was always a good and faithful worker. He was trustworthy everywhere he was. Remember what we were talking about earlier. A minority of workers produce the majority of the work. This is true in the ministry. This is true out in the business sector, right? There's no shortage of Christians that will say, oh, I need to speak. Oh, the Lord showed me this vision. I need to say this. The people need to hear this, right? There's no shortage of Christians that are clawing for access to the stage, to the limelight. But there's plenty of a shortage of Christians that are offering to serve, to pray, to fast, to volunteer, to support the work of the mission. Because it ends up always being a small group of people that exercise faith and are willing to work. The majority of people, they want to put in a bare minimum effort. Joseph was the kind of worker that somebody would think, wow, I am so grateful he's around. Okay? If you're an employee for somebody, the kind of attitude you should have is that, you know what? I'm not just here for myself. I'm here to be a blessing to everyone around me. I'm here to bless the company that hired me. And I'm here to be a light. You have to have that attitude wherever you go. And your boss or your employer should be so grateful that he hired you. Wow. Ever since I've hired that person, sales have been up. Things have been better. Things have been more productive. They should look at you and they should think, wow, this is the best worker I have ever hired. And that's the kind of reputation Christians should have. That we are good workers. That we are trustworthy. That we are faithful. Because in the story of Joseph, you have to understand, you have to put yourself in his shoes. He was betrayed by his own family. His brothers sold him into slavery. And now he is a slave to Potiphar. Okay? He didn't have a choice in the matter. Now, it's really easy to look at those circumstances, and Joseph could have been bitter, could have been resentful, okay? Now, if you put yourself in his shoes, that you're now bitter and resentful, that you're in this position, oh, I'm a slave to Potiphar, I shouldn't be here, I don't deserve this, right? If you have that attitude, you'll put a bare minimum effort in. Well, I shouldn't even be here, right? Everything has been wrong, done against me. All these things have been done against me, and they're wrong, right? And so Joseph might have taken on the attitude, okay, well, I'm just going to do the bare minimum of what Potiphar tells me to do, and then I'm going to go and stew in my anger, right? And many of us might look at our own lives and might, well, I shouldn't be here, right? Oh, this is just a temporary position, okay? I shouldn't be here, right? That attitude has to go away. The truth is, the Lord tells us if we are faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. But if we're not even faithful with somebody else's property, this is what it tells us in Luke, if you can't be trusted with somebody else's property, who will give you property of your own? So if you want to graduate from your position, you have to prove yourself faithful where you are now. You have to be the most trustworthy person. So Joseph had every reason to be bitter, every reason to be angry, but he was found to be the most trustworthy and the most productive worker in Potiphar's household. So Potiphar saw that and he put him over his whole house. But it didn't end there because Potiphar's wife approaches him. Hey, you should sleep with me, right? And the scripture says Joseph ran from her, okay? And so what happens? Potiphar's wife goes to Potiphar and tells him, oh, Joseph tried to come on to me. He tried to rape me, right? She falsely accused Joseph and had him thrown into prison. Now, in this circumstance, Joseph, again, had every reason to be bitter, resentful, and angry. And maybe he was upset. But he didn't carry himself in a manner that was unfitting of a follower of God. He carried himself in a manner that was trustworthy and faithful. And here, Potiphar's wife told all these lies about him, ruined his reputation, had him thrown into prison, but he was still found to be the most faithful and trustworthy of prisoners. So much so that the guards put him over that section of the prison. This is the manner with which we have to carry ourselves, even if maybe you shouldn't be in the position you're in. Maybe people have treated you wrong. But we still have to be faithful and trustworthy where we are now, and we have to be the most productive workers. Christians should be the most productive workers. Because in order to be greater in the kingdom of God, remember this, you have to be the servant of all. That means you're praying more. You're working more. You're obeying God more. This idea of leadership that it's just something that plops into your lap and now everybody has to listen to you because you're the boss, that is a child's understanding of what it means to be, oh, I'm in charge now, right? Mom put me in charge. You have to listen to me. No, leadership in the kingdom comes from years and years of faithfully obeying God many times without any recognition. So if you're, you know, maybe you're bitter and upset about your current circumstances, remember this. Joseph was a slave. And he was still faithful in serving the Lord. And he was still trustworthy with every opportunity he was given. The truth is, the majority of us here in America, we can, you know, we didn't have it worse than Joseph. Let's be real here, right? We weren't betrayed by our own family and sold into slavery. But the Lord has still given us opportunities to obey him. And the kingdom of God is all about opportunities. So, wherever you are now, start looking for opportunities to be a blessing to others. Start looking for ways that you can establish the kingdom of God around you and be the most productive and faithful worker you can possibly be. And as you focus on the Lord and establishing the kingdom of God, he will open doors that you didn't expect. And you know, this is exactly what happens with King David. You see, David received this great word from the Lord. You're going to be king over Israel. And he was just a lowly shepherd. He was the youngest in his household. When the prophet showed up, Jesse didn't even think it worth to invite David. He invited all the sons except for David. And then Samuel said, don't you got any other sons? He's like, oh, just the youngest, but he's out in the field. Don't worry about him. But that's the one that God chose because God looks at the heart. So David had this great and wonderful word of the Lord. Oh, you're going to be king over Israel. You've been anointed and it's already established. And what happens? His family still sends him back out to the field as a shepherd. So he's still working as a shepherd. His family didn't see him no different, even though he received this great word from the Lord. But David was still faithful to the Lord. And what happens is that when Goliath shows up and all of Saul's men are cowering in fear and all the armies of Israel are cowering in fear, David overhears Goliath. And what happens is that Goliath, he comes out and he's throwing all these vile curses and saying all these vile things about God and the Israelites. And David gets upset. He says, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine say these things? Doesn't he know the God that we serve? Doesn't he know who we are? He is defying the armies of the living God. And so what happens? He goes and he faces Goliath. You see, David didn't look at this opportunity and think that, oh, this is an opportunity to make a name for myself. Oh, this is an opportunity and people are going to sing praises to my name. He didn't think that at all. He was concerned about the reputation of God and the reputation of God's people. But in David focusing on God and the will of God, God used that opportunity to glorify David. So if you just focus on honoring God, on obeying God, the Lord will begin to create opportunities that in you pursuing God's will, you too will be blessed and elevated. Now that's such a cool picture because it means we give up. Okay, you know what? I don't care about my reputation anymore. I don't care about making a name for myself anymore. And then in surrendering that, you end up receiving blessings in return. And that's exactly what God did to David. So hopefully this kind of changes your perspective about leadership and about servanthood in the kingdom of God. We should be, especially those of you called to the transfer of wealth, influence, affluence, and to leadership, you should be praying more. You should be walking your faith with fear and trembling. Pastor Chris, she's going to be spending this next month in the Philippines. So make sure to cover her in prayer. And as I said before, if you want to sow a seed to support that mission trip, then I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org. It's a good and fertile ground. And there's going to be great, wonderful stories coming from the mission in the Philippines. And don't forget, God is going to have his will here in America. We need only focus on obeying him and honoring him in everything that we do. Amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.